If you have your Bibles, we are in 2 Corinthians again. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're taking just a two-week break. Last week we were in 2 Corinthians 8. This week, 2 Corinthians 9. We're looking at generosity, Christian generosity. If you weren't with us last week, Christian generosity. This passage it's talking about money, but we're also talking beyond just finances, right? We're talking about our time, our skills, and our finances, right? Or someone put it this way, it's easier for me to remember. Our time, our talents, and our treasures, right? So Christian generosity should involve all of those. And a major thing we talked about last week was that our generosity it comes from the generosity of God, which we see most clearly through his son Jesus, who impoverished himself so that we can become rich. We looked at 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 last week, and that'll be up, I think, on the screen here for you. And this is really the focus of our passage. It was the climax of the passage last week. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." Christ's generosity is the source of our generosity as believers, right? And how can we not be generous when we look at Christ? Like, in Christ, we have every reason to be generous. And we'll see that not only do we have every reason, but we have the means to be generous because God blesses so that we can be generous, right? Both with Christians, right? Those inside the church, those we have fellowship with. Actually, even Christians that we don't necessarily have fellowship with, we can be generous to them. But outside the church as well, with people that do not yet know Jesus, because in Christ we have everything, right? And that's not hyperbole. That's no exaggeration. In Christ, as I read last week in Ephesians 1, and you should read that this week. I'm gonna say that so many times today. You should read all of the ones that I'm going to say though. But Ephesians 1. He says, we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. And then he goes on to list some of those out. And the list isn't exhaustive, but it is huge. He says, you've been adopted as sons by God the Father, right? So your standing is that of a son alongside Jesus the Son. And don't get caught up in like, why does he say son, right? Why isn't it son or daughter or son and daughter? There's a cultural context, right, that he's writing to here. And in that context, the sons got the inheritance. So when the Bible talks this way, man, the point is male, female, right? Rich, poor, like whatever could like divide you or categorize you, it doesn't matter. You have the rights of a son. You have been adopted. So you're standing as an adopted son, right? Your heavenly Father he's good. He's already given you the greatest gift in giving you his son, Jesus, who laid down his life for you. And if, just logically, if he's already given you that, why would we think that he's gonna hold anything back from us? And Paul really clearly says that in Romans 8:32. He says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" Right? Jesus is the greatest gift. God gave his son to us. He gave his son for us. At the end of our passage today in chapter 9, verse 15, Paul writes, "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." That inexpressible gift, it's Christ, right? It is Jesus. So the Christian is generous because the God that we serve, the God that we love, the God that we follow is generous, right? When we give of ourselves, I just don't know if there's anything that we can do that reflects God more, right? God gives himself to us, and when we do that, right, we're reflecting God. Paul tells us, be imitators of God, right? Be generous, give of who you are, right? And there's more than just money. Right, give of yourself. This is dying to self, and man, that's the Christian life. Like we die to ourselves. We put ourselves up on that altar, right? We pick up our cross and follow Christ. Like every day, you're going to have 100 different ways that you get to die to yourself. Now, sometimes certainly that generosity is material giving. Sometimes that generosity is giving of your time. Sometimes that generosity is giving of the talents, the skills that you have. And for each person, like my guess is that there are going to be some things that are probably pretty easy for us to give away, right? And other categories that are harder for us to give away. We're kind of thinking through that in my community group this last week. And I realized for me, giving my time away, that's actually really, I think that's the easiest one for me, is to give my time to people. Now, obviously, time is a finite resource, but with finances, I can be like this, right? Like, I got to, like, pry it away. But with my time, it's like, here you go. And for each person, it's going to be different, right? For some of you, giving your time away, that's really, really hard. Obviously, each of us, we only have so many minutes in a day, and you would way rather give away money than give away your time. So, man, are you generous to others with your time? Like, if your calendar, right, Google Calendar, whatever you use, if it was down to the minute and it was honest, and someone looked at it, like took an audit, I guess, of your calendar, would they say you're generous with your time? Right, or you could do that with your bank account as well, or maybe your generosity is giving away the skills that you have, right? In the marketplace, right? You have some skills that perhaps they cost a pretty penny. There's a high monetary value for those skills that you have honed maybe over your career. Man, I've known so many people in the churches that I've been a part of that they use their skills to bless others. Right, that God, for whatever reason, like put them in this career path or whatever it is, maybe it's a hobby and they've honed these skills that out in the marketplace, man, they can make a lot of money, but they gave, right? Instead, they give of those skills, and we see that here. In my time here, I've seen that over and over again. We've had people that give their time, give their skills, and it will never show up in a financial report. But if we had to like go out and pay for those skills for that same work, it would have cost us an arm and a leg. And I'm thrifty, so it probably wouldn't have happened. Man, I'm so thankful for how God blesses through the body of Christ. And this is, we've talked about this many times, and this is a theme you can trace all through Scripture, is that God blesses his people so that we can be a blessing. The first time that I see that in the Bible is Genesis 12, 1 and 2. The Lord's talking to Abram, who becomes Abraham, and he says, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation." He says, "I will bless you. I'll make your name great so that you will be a blessing." So how has God blessed you, right? In your time, your talents, your treasures. And how do you use that blessing in order to bless others? And know that it will be different in different seasons. And sometimes the season that you're in right now, it feels like life will always be this exact way, and it will never change. Like it's often hard to see. Like take your schedule, your time, for example. It will not always be this way. Whatever season you're in, it will not always be this way. Or the same is true with your resources. It will not always be this way. The skills that you have, like, man, those are going to keep growing over the years. And right now, you might feel like, I've got nothing. Right, I have nothing that I can give in any of those categories. I promise you, over time, that will change. And maybe not in all those categories in the same way, but whatever you have now and how you use what you have, that's preparation for upcoming seasons where you'll be able to actually give even more. And maybe right now what you have, it just feels like, man, it is so little. Well, what do you do with the little that you have? Because now counts, and it's practice for when you do have more time, more talents, more treasures. I ended up cutting Matthew 25, 14 through 30 from the sermon. This is another one I'd like you to read this week, though. It's the parable of the talents, and you might be familiar with it. But even even just reading it once, I think it jumps off the page that, man, God, he's saying he rewards those that make use of what he has given them, right? There's two servants that they get something from their boss, and he goes away for a time, and they invest, they multiply it, and he comes back, he's like, man, that was awesome. Here's even more. And then there's one that really just wastes it. He buries it. He does nothing with it, and the boss is not pleased. So read that one this week. All of that was an intro for where we are today. 2 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 6. Join me, follow along with me. The point is this, Paul writes, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it's written, he distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. So look at verse 6. Paul starts with this agricultural imagery, I'm guessing it's pretty safe to say none of us here are farmers, right? But this is such a simple illustration that we all can get it, even though we may not grow anything at all, right? The imagery is that there's the farmer that if they sow a little, if they spread a little seed, what are they going to get? They're going to get a little bit to reap, right? A little harvest. But the one who sows a ton, right? Just throw in seed, spreading seed all over the place. That one will get a bigger harvest. So using this agricultural illustration for yourself, how much harvesting do you want to be a part of, right? Your life as a whole, like what do you want to produce and how much? Like what do you want to be a part of? Now our mind probably naturally thinks mostly about ourselves and what we want to produce for ourselves. But if we're in Christ, he's calling us to be a part of his kingdom purposes, the harvesting that he wants to do. So at the end of your life, like what would you hope you're a part of producing? Like think about your memorial service. I know that's kind of weird. But as a pastor, like I probably get asked to speak at a memorial service 2 or 3 times a year. And I think it's actually really good for me that I have to think about life and the end of my life. Literally every service I've ever been a part of, right? There's at least some stories that are told about the person that has died. I've never heard someone get up there and say, man, that guy made so much money. That's awesome, right? I've never heard someone say, boy, she saved up the biggest nest egg and didn't have to worry at all in retirement, right? I've never heard someone say, like, whoa, they went on 27 cruises. That's really great. And there isn't anything necessarily wrong with making like a boatload of money, right? Or traveling, but I think all of us know that those things can really easily distract us, right? Those things can go from being a good thing to being an object of our worship, right? To being an idol for us. Matthew 6:19 through 21, Jesus says, he says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, right? These are temporary things. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your treasure? Where is your heart? What is it after? At the end of my life, I really hope that at my memorial service, that my kids hear stories like all kinds of stories from people that they knew, people that they didn't know. I hope they hear stories they'd never heard of before of me like loving people for Christ and giving away of what I have in order to incarnationally, right, to visibly demonstrate the love of Jesus, both to people that know the Lord already and people that don't know the Lord. There won't be many stories, though, getting back to verse 6, if I sow sparingly. And I know I'm preaching on this because of what our budget has looked like this year. And this passage it's mostly talking monetary, but I don't just mean our finances here. God blesses his people so that we can be a blessing. So what will you do, what we do with what he gives us, it will result in something, right? That's how it works. And will it be a little or will it be a lot? Like, will we generously give of what God has given us? Because when we do, there will be a big harvest. And Paul's telling us, like, this is just how it works. This is cause and effect. You give away what God has given you, and he will use that. I just planted grass seed like almost 2 weeks ago. So all this rain, I am just loving. It's the only reason I ever like rain. My lawn this year was embarrassing. Like, and seriously, ask my wife and just look at the face she makes. Like, don't tell her. She has no idea I'm talking about this. But ask my wife. It's probably the third worst lawn in the neighborhood. It's so bad. And I'm so thankful that there's a couple, like, bottom dwellers with me. So I planted all this seed. I worked really hard. I feel like I need just a ton of grass, like, to take the shame off my property. So I spread just tons of seed, right? And I know that not every seed will result in this blade of grass, right? So I spread more than I'm even hoping for in return. Like, it's simple math. Like, if you want more grass, you need to spread more seed. So I spent probably a ridiculous amount of money on grass seed. So in verse 6, like, part of this is logic, but part of it is promise, because this is just how God has made it. The more seed you sow, the more you'll reap. It works that way because God has made it that way. So you sow generously with your time, your talents, your treasures, and you will get to be a part of harvesting God's kingdom work. And that's exciting. Like, I don't know if there's anything more exciting than being a part of what God is doing in this world, than being a part of what God is doing in the lives of people. One way we've been able to be generous as a church is with our building here. I think Matt shared this a few weeks ago, but Young Life is a ministry to high school students. They got a ministry to middle school students called Wildlife. But Young Life and Wildlife, they're reaching kids that a lot of times won't necessarily come to a church, won't necessarily come to a youth group. So after Camas home football games this season, Young Life's been hosting an event here called the fifth quarter, right? So after the fourth quarter of the game, kids come here and they're having like pizza and playing games. And there's been a ton of kids here, right? It was like, 50, 60 kids this Friday. Another one, it was like 70 kids. I think the first one was 100 kids. And so us as a church, like, our finances supporting this physical structure, this property, we've been able to bless Young Life and these students, right? And some of these students, they'll probably get connected with Young Life. And if they start going to Young Life, they will hear the gospel. And some of them, in hearing the gospel, they will respond to the good news in faith. And we get to be a part of that as a church. Verse 7, Paul says, everyone must give as he has decided in his heart, right? Giving, and Paul here, this is specifically about monetary giving. Paul says it's a decision, right? And that word there is, it's purposed. It's planned, right? Does spontaneous giving exist? Yeah, but that's not what he's talking about here. And spontaneous giving is good too, like when you know, on the spot you're stirred to give. But Paul, he seems to think that planned giving is good as well. We make a willful, purposeful decision to give, and it is supposed to come from our heart. So why the heart? Well, like I said last week, Christian giving is voluntary, right? We don't, like, our bookkeeper is not like, watching the video feed from our security cameras and figuring out who gave and didn't give. Like, that's not how it works here. Like, Christian giving is, it's voluntary. And look at what he says. He says it's not reluctant. It's not to be out of compulsion. Christian giving is an outpouring of our hearts. It's connected, as we've already talked about, to what God has done for us and in us, right? He's given us absolutely everything. So we respond not out of obligation, right? Not out of like checking off this spiritual checklist, like this duty that I have to fulfill, but man, it's from our heart. And look at what Paul says. He says it's cheerful, right? We come to God, and on this heart level, we ask him, will you stir in me this generosity to give? And I know last week I talked about tithing and the whole 10% thing. I won't get into all that again, but it was a commandment in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, it doesn't command that. And you hear that, and you might on the one hand think like, oh, sweet, well, I don't have to give 10%. I get to decide. The more you think about it, the longer you think, it's like, that actually could cost me more, right? Like, there's no like, oh, I hit the mark that I was supposed to give. I don't know if you remember David, King David. He was going to make this sacrifice to God. And he's on this property of this other guy. David wants to build this altar, and he asks the guy like, hey, let me buy this from you. And the guy's like, no, like, I will give it to you. And David's like, no way. There's no way you're giving this to me. I'm paying for this, right? There's no way that my offering will not cost me, right? An offering, a sacrifice to God, there is a cost to it. Like, we should feel it. And this is why, like, last week I encouraged, and again this week, it should be like one of our spiritual disciplines, just regularly evaluating before the Lord, like, our giving. Because at one point, maybe you make this decision in your heart to give, and it was this sacrifice. Like, you did feel it. But then after a while, I think we all know what it's like. Like, we're on autopilot, and our heart gets disconnected from that. And maybe circumstances have changed, right? Maybe that really stretched you here, but now, I don't know, you got a bump in pay, or I have no idea. Man, so regularly before the Lord, we need to come and ask him to stir generosity in us and lead us, even stretch us in how we give. There was a mentor in my life back in college. His parents were missionaries. And he told me this. He told me that they lived off a third of what they made. They saved and invested a third of what they made, and they gave away a third of what they made. And it blew my mind. I mean, you talk about serious discipline, incredible generosity. I mean, there's a lot of dying to self in that model there, while being, I think, incredibly responsible as well. But man, Christ has given us everything. We were talking about this in our community group. Like, if he's given us everything, don't you think like that's what's expected in return, that we give all of who we are? So in a way, like, not having a percentage is kind of harder, because we're coming and saying, Lord, here's my heart. Like, would you lead me in how you want me to give of my time and my talents and my treasures? God, shape me, right? We're praying, shape me, shape my heart, so that I give like you do. I heard a quote this week. It said, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. I'm like, man, that is so true, right? And as believers, like, we want to love God and love people. And if that is who we are, then man, we will be a giving people. Let's not miss the end of verse 7 either. It says, Paul writes, God loves a cheerful giver. Like, it delights God when we give cheerfully, not begrudgingly, right? Not a, I have to do this, so I'm going to. And I don't know everything that Paul means here, and I don't want to say more than he means, but I can't help but see that somehow, man, he's saying that God's love is in a special way, in a unique way, it's focused on the cheerful giver. Verse 8, he says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. It's natural to think, if I give away, I will have less, right? That's That's just math. That's basic subtraction. It takes faith to trust God that he will open up his blessing to those who are generous with what God gives them. Earthly wisdom says, no, like I need to stockpile, I need to hoard, I need to grasp at everything I can so that I have all that I want. But faith is putting your trust in God, that when he stirs up this generosity in your heart so that you give in ways that, you know, wouldn't make sense to someone that doesn't know Jesus. And honestly, actually, in ways that, even for ourselves, like we look on paper, like, God, I don't know how you're going to make this work. And yet, God, help me to trust in you because I'm pretty sure this is what you're leading me to do. Paul, in verse 8, he says, he is able. Right? God is able. The word here means it has power, right? God has the power to bless those who trust him. And even in saying that, like, one thing with this passage I get nervous about is like I have this fear reaction in me that someone's going to take this and twist it into a prosperity gospel, right? Do not be fooled by someone that's trying to use this promise of God or just even in your own heart trying to use this promise of God as a way to scam God. You cannot scam God, right? Don't think like, I'm going to give to God so he'll give me more. The generosity of God is so that the giver can be even more generous because they have even more from God to be generous with. Again, God blesses his people so that we can be a blessing, right? To people that know Jesus and people that don't yet know Jesus. Look at verses 10 and 11, right? He supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, right? It says he'll supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Verse 11, he says, you'll be enriched in every way. Why? To be generous in every way. God supplies. Right? We have to remember that God supplies. We adopted this spring, I think it'll be 10 years since we adopted our youngest. And when you're getting ready for adoption, you get to take all these classes. And I say you get to, technically you have to, but man, I wanted to because I was nervous. Like it was, I didn't, for years I wanted to adopt. And then when you get right there, you're like, man, I don't know what I'm doing. But fortunately, like there's generations of people before us that have adopted. And man, there's all kinds of resources. So I wanted to like know as much as I could. So they prepare you in a ton of ways with a ton of issues that are just very common with adopted kids and adopted families. And it covers things that you won't necessarily encounter, but you might. I remember one of the subjects was food. And how critical it was for some adopted kids, at least, that they knew that food was available, right? That anytime they wanted it. And it didn't apply to our situation because not every adopted kid faced like food scarcity. But for those that did, when they're adopted, like you can imagine the anxiety of you're in this new place, it's already scary, right? You're with these new people, this new household, and you've always lived in this, or maybe not always, but at least for a time, lived in this food scarcity reality. And so that adoptive family, like they had to help their new kiddo come to understand like, no, you don't worry about food anymore. Like you don't have to do that. The fridge is always open for you, right? The pantry is never locked. And you can imagine like that would take a long time for a kid to come to believe that, right? It would take a long time for their heart, their head to heal. Christians, some of us live like we're still the orphan that doesn't know if the next meal is going to come. And we've been adopted, and our father could not be more wealthy, right? God isn't stretched thin. I heard Elon just eclipsed $500 billion. I don't know if he dipped back down since then, but that's chump change to Yahweh. Our God supplies everything we need, and I'm not just talking about money. God has given everything you need. And as his kids, we're to come to him, right? We're to, like we sang about, we're to run to the Father. The pantry isn't locked, right? God loves us and he blesses us. And I know, like, I mean, some of you are in hard times right now. You're in hard times right now. And so sometimes we're waiting longer than we want for God's provision. But let me tell you, it's always on time. Right? It's never late. It's never early. God's timing is perfect. And again, in verse 11, when we're generous, like he will bless you so that you can be even more generous. Verse 12, right, he talks about this generosity, not only meeting a physical need, right? Because we don't just aim to meet physical needs, although that might be exactly where it starts. The goal is that this will result in giving God thanks, that this will result in a person seeing God meet their need through his people so that they can't help but be drawn to him and glorify him. And so when we are generous, we get to be a part of what God is doing to demonstrate his great love, right? Which has been most clearly shown in Jesus. I assume that you, probably many, many points in your life, have been on the receiving end of someone else's generosity. I know I have many times. And the older I get, the easier it is for me to see that when someone gives me some sort of gift, that it's God that is actually the source of that, right? Someone had to be faithful, someone had to be generous for sure, but God's helped me see time and time again, like they're the conduit, he's the giver. There was a missionary named Helen Rosevere. She was a missionary to the Congo. This is decades ago, but she told this story that a mother in their mission station had died after giving birth to a premature baby. And they tried to improvise an incubator to keep the baby alive, but the only hot water bottle that they had was beyond repair. I realize some of you have never even heard of a water bottle before. A hot water bottle, you're like, yeah, it's a mug. No, it's not. It was this rubber thing that you'd pour hot water in. This is before electric heating pads, okay? So they had this hot water bottle to try and help the baby with its body temperature, but it was broken. It was beyond repair. So she said, we asked the children to pray for the baby and for her older sister. One little girl prayed out. She said, dear God, please send a hot water bottle today because tomorrow will be too late. By then she'll be dead. And please send a doll for her sister so she won't feel so lonely. Well, that afternoon, a package arrived from England, and the children watched as eagerly as it was opened up. And to their surprise, under some clothing, there was a hot water bottle. Well, that little girl who prayed that, she ran over to the package, and she just starts digging through and like throwing clothes out of the way. She exclaimed, if God sent the water bottle, I'm sure he sent a doll too. And she was right. Helen Rosevere said, the Heavenly Father knew in advance the child's sincere request, and 5 months earlier, right, this is before Amazon Prime, 5 months earlier, he had led a group of women in England to put together this package, including those specific items. Man, that gift didn't only provide and meet like real needs, it resulted in the praise of God, and when we are generous, man, we get to be a part of that. So this is spurred on, like I said, by where we are financially as a church, right? And every year, you make a budget. It's based on data from the previous year and praying and planning into the next year. And there's always this amount of, we don't know what this year will hold. So like we shared several weeks ago, our giving is, it's behind this year. But praise God, we have reserves in our bank. We've got almost $300,000 in reserves, and we're so thankful for that. And we don't just want to live off our reserves. We don't want to just drain that, year after year. So the budgets are, or the elders are working hard on our budget for this coming year, and we have all of that in mind. And as we were talking, I realize I haven't talked about what Scripture says about giving in the 8 years I've been preaching here. And we want to be a people of the Word. So I hope that being in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 the past couple weeks, I hope it's helped you. I hope it's reminded you, of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. The grace that we receive from God through Christ. I hope it's helped you to trust. I hope it is helping you to trust in God that he'll do what he says he will do. And my encouragement, and it comes just right out of our passage today, is spend some time with the Lord, right? Here's my heart. Lord, here's the resources I have right now. Will you lead me in this? Will you use me? Will you even stretch me, God? And I've had a couple people just since last week that came to me and said they've looked at what they're given, they've decided to give even more, and praise God for that. I know that some that won't even be possible for you. And I know you want so badly for that to be possible, but where you are right now, it's not. But for others, maybe you will increase. Our giving is behind about 60,000 right now. And one of our math people broke it down by like our number of people that give, right? So husband and wife, you'd count as one, you're one. If everyone increased their giving in our church by $60, I think it's technically 64, but we'll just remember 60, we would actually, over 12 months, we'd be totally even. We'd be right where we need to be. So I know some of you, there's no way you can increase by that. I get that, I appreciate that. But I know others, like you're actually like, man, I bet I could do 1.5 times that, or double, or who knows. We're trusting God. We're trusting God and working hard to be good stewards of whatever he has given this church. And we're going to go into 2026 like just trying to be a people that are faithful, that are following after Jesus. And man, we want to be a people that are reaping a harvest. Let me read to you again. This won't be on the screen, but this is 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he is rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you took on flesh for us and died for us in our place so that we could have the riches of heaven, so that we could be forgiven of our sin, so that we could have life in you, Jesus, that isn't just someday in eternity, but is right now. And God, I pray that we'd be a people that are faithful to you, Lord, that we would be a people with our time, talents, and treasures that, man, we let you stir in us so that we're not like having to pry away our fingers, but we're just ready to give in the ways that you invite us to give, Lord. We wanna be a church that, man, that really blesses one another, but also way beyond these walls, Lord. Both other Christians, but people that don't know you yet, Jesus. We want to be a people that have eyes for the nations and what you're doing to draw all people to yourself, Lord. God, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the riches that we have in you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.